Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy Rico back at it again. This is the Rico Report brought to you by the Buffalo Fanatics. Let's roll. We got things to talk about. We got injuries. We got some significant injuries. Let's talk about it. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we are back in business. It's the Rico Report. Listen, man, we got things to report on. You know what I'm saying? The biggest piece of this defense hurt again. The biggest piece of this defense, let me say it again, it hurt again. And it pains me. It pains me because the unit I've been looking forward to the most this year has been the linebacking core. Having Terrell Bernard come back, he's a budding star. It's just a matter of time before the whole league starts recognizing who Terrell Bernard is. They already know who Matt Milano is. He's one of the best in the game. That was the unit I was looking most forward to this season. And now, who knows how significant this injury is? Some are saying it's minor. Some are saying it could be something more. We just don't know. And it all depends on how people deal with it. Now, we are hoping that it's a stinger. We're hoping that it's something minor. And it potentially could be. Got injured. Never came back. So, what to make of these significant injuries? Now, here's the thing, man. Milano is such a big piece to this defense. Him going down it's not ideal, man. Whenever, and especially as you're trying to build the chemistry between you and the rest of the guys, you got some new pieces on this defense, right? You're trying to build between yourself and Bernard, yourself and Dorian Williams. I mean, you guys are a unit, right? And it might be something very tiny. It might not be anything serious. It might just, hey, give him some rest. We've got a whole, I say 3 weeks. 3 weeks before the season starts. We'll say a month. We'll give it a month. A month before the season starts. So it's like, you got time to heal up and stuff, but you want to be on the field with the guys. You want to be building towards something because I'll tell you, man, it's a significant loss if he's got to miss a little bit of time. I mean, he lost majority of the season last year, and the defense was still able to do what they do, but it's not the same without Milano. He erases a lot of things where offenses want to attack. You can't quite attack it the way you want to because Milano's right there. He already knows where you want to be. And if you dare make that decision, detrimental for the offense. Interception, bat down. He's a great blitzer. He's great in space. Like, he's solid. The dude is solid, bro. But you got to stay healthy, my guy. You got to stay healthy. And there's been multiple seasons that we just can't have a full season of Milano. And it blows, man. And this is one of those seasons where you're like, okay, this is the one that, okay, he's got his leg injury, behind him. He should be ready to go. And now you got this shoulder slash bicep. I don't think it's a bicep based on the pictures. But this is let me see if I can kind of get out the way a little bit. This is my guy, Milano, I guess, testing it out and getting back up. I mean, he got up nimble. Dude is jacked, man. Golly, this guy's jacked. This guy was a safety. They brought this guy from being a safety to they just built him into just linebacking, a linebacker that's just jacked up and ready to roll. Anyway, big piece if we lose this guy for some significant time, even if it's practice, man. Yeah, we talk about practice. Yes, even if it's about practice, I want this brother on the field to practice with the rest of the guys, especially alongside an impressionable Terrell Bernard. Yo, man. And Terrell Bernard came into his own basically without Milano next to him, with the likes of AJ Klein sprinkled in with a little Dorian Williams. So like this is that season. And you understand why Brandon Bean decided to say, you know what? I'm bringing in a bevy of linebackers this year because I just don't know. So in comes Nicholas Moreau. Obviously, you got Baylen Spector that we drafted. You brought in Deion Jones. So there's quite a bit of linebackers on this squad. And I'm probably you drafted Eddie Ulufoshio. I think I'm saying it right. Right out of Washington. So we know this linebacking position is important because we cannot get on the phone and start calling AJ Klein again. We just can't. Now I get it. You want to call someone that knows his defense, you want to call someone that is respected in the league. And you want to put someone that can just get in there and play, right? I know for a fact, I'm not even sure if this person's available, but if this person's available and things start to go awry at the safety position and we're just dropping like flies for some reason, knock on wood that it doesn't happen, Dean Marlowe is going to be called up. Dean Marlowe is going to be good. Listen, synonymous, man. Dean Marlowe, Buffalo Bills, it's a match. It's a match because he knows where he's supposed to be. He knows defense. You can get in right away. Now, they'll probably go to Micah Hyde before anything, but it's just the point. The point I'm trying to make is they will go to where there's not a big learning curve. The learning curve is minor, right? So that's the way I want to look at it, right? So shout out to my guy, Jeff King, the man, the legend, Rico. What's up, brother? Glad to see you on. Happy belated to your daughters. Hey, I appreciate that, man. My daughter, Anaya, just turned 11. It's crazy. It is crazy. I got a 21-year-old, which is absolutely nuts. And people are like, what? How old are you? Don't worry about it. Mind your business. Then you got I got a 12-year-old that's going to be 13. I got an 11-year-old, and I got a 2-year-old that's going to be 3 in December. By the way, having a boy, I was a girl dad all day. Having a boy changes your life. These kids, these boys, they don't chill. They have no chill in their DNA. There's no chill. So kudos to parents that have multiple boys. I'm not just talking about 2. I'm talking about 3 to 4 to 5 boys. A, they're crazy. B, they're going to eat up your whole fridge. Salute. Salute to the parents that got to deal with all boys. Golly. But anyway, I appreciate that, Jeff King. You're the guy. And and speaking of legends, I had to show up my tea. Levers never die. You know who the four horsemen are. You see what's going on. Anyway, shout out to everybody tuned in, by the way. So, yeah, back to Milano and this defense, man. So you already know what time it is. So Bean already kind of set himself up for if something goes down, such as what's going on right now with Matt Milano, I'm prepared. He's going to be prepared to get somebody to jump in. And here's the thing with Nicholas Moreau coming from the Eagles. It's not like he's some scrub and nobody knows who he is. He's a green dotter. If you don't know what a green dotter is one that, yo, if next man up, helmet, I'm giving you the plays, you go. Right? This guy he's the depth piece. He's the ultimate depth piece to this defense in terms of the linebacking crew. So that being said, Milano, I hope it's nothing. We really hope it's nothing. We want this to be one of those things where it's just, you know, you're just banged up and we're just going to take it easy on you because we need you for the season. Just chill out. We're good. I really hope it's nothing. Maybe if it's a week off that you need, Dan, take that week off and get back to, rolling through. But golly, man, this is actually, I'm not going to lie. People might look at it as like, oh, don't worry about it, man. It's not a big deal. You got a whole month. But, bro, we need everything. Like, this defense we've lost some key significant pieces that, okay, if we lost Milano, don't worry. We got someone on the back end that we can trust that's going to be putting guys in the right positions. We don't have that anymore. We got Taylor Rapp. No disrespect to Taylor Rapp. We don't know what he's going to bring to the table when it comes to comparison to Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. You got DeMar Hamlin. Yes, he's been on the squad, but he ain't no DeMar. He ain't no Poyer. He ain't no Hyde, right? So we need all the experience. We need all the talent we can get on this squad because there's too many new pieces that we can't just sit there and rely. I mean, Cole Bishop, we have this brother ready to go. He's hurt. Mike Edwards, supposed to be our veteran guy back there that we can kind of count on. Multiple Super Bowls under his belt. He's hurt. You know what I'm saying? And that's just the nature of the game. That's the nature of the game. That's just football. You're going to get nicked up. You're going to get bruised up. And the ultimate goal is obviously to be ready for the start of the season. And right now, I mean, shoot, you see what's going on? You see what's going on? So I ain't got to tell you anymore. But listen, shout out to one of the best med crews in the game. I know the crew that the Bills have put together is one that they trust and one that they feel that they're gonna, you know what I mean? Get him right, get him back in position to do real good things. But the depth on this defense is what really matters at the end of the day. I mean, I think I still have it up. So let me pull up the depth chart. So we can have a closer look at what this defense, that's the offensive side of the ball. So the defense. So right now, boom, this is perfect. So if you're looking at this, your linebacking crew, flip my head around here. I got to figure out a better way to do this thing, man. This is what I'm going to do. I'm gonna unlock this sucker and be old school with it. Go old school with it. And then we go from there. So here's the deal. I can even pull the cord out. Hold on a second. I got to go from here. Hold on. Let me pop this thing real quick. All right, so we're going to do it like this for now. So let me pop this out the way real quick. So here's the linebacker crew, man. So you got Terrell Bernard. You already know what time it is. You got my Milano. Let me be my Vanna Black over here. So so you got Terrell and you got Milano. Those are your two big dogs, all right? Those are your two big dogs. You know who we got in Dorian Williams. That boy will smack the hell out of you. And in year two, he should come into his own if he's asked to do some things. And once he gets warmed up, he could be something real good. And I like that we got him at the third round. That was a solid pick. Nicholas Moreau, solid. You know what time it is when you have these two. If you're not in dire straits, if one of these guys were to go down, these guys can jump in. Are they as skillful as these two? No. But they can do the job. Here's the depth. You got Baylen Specter, and you got Eddie Ulfusio. Okay? And then obviously you got Deion Jones, Shane Simon, and Joe Andreessen. Joe Andreessen was mic'd up. He had some time. He's a local boy. And you never know. Maybe he pushes to make the squad, but chances are I don't think it's going to happen. So you got your first four, and then the rest is history after that. So I say all this, just be healthy. Let's just be healthy. Let's be cool. And get Milano back on track so we can get this thing cracking, man. Like, I ain't trying to start the season with Milano on the sideline. I really am not. I really know. Every Rico, chill out. No, I'm not going to chill out. I ain't going to chill out. There's none of that, man, because this happens to us all the time. So I'm not chilling out. I got beef real quick. So this preseason game that just happened, right? Let me go back out. The preseason game that just happened, I voiced my opinion. So did my man Bot. We did a show together, and we weren't happy with the product that was put on the field. My man says, "How serious is the injury?" That's the thing. We're not 100% sure as how serious it is. I'm just speaking on the injury itself. He's injured. Period. We hope it's minor, and he's back on the field in no time. We love that. We would want that. The fact of the matter is this: he's hurt. And tell me, when's the last? Like, it's not like this is. Oh, he rarely gets. Nah, bro, he does. And it's unfortunate. They're unlucky, nicks and bruises and stuff like that. You're like, come on, bruh. Like, I think even this offseason, he was dealing with a little something minor, but nonetheless, he was back on it. But anyway, it is what it is. I mean, said Rico says, what happened? What did you say, Rico, to get people all riled up? What don't I say? Anyway, so let me get into that. So we doing the show, and Bot and I are talking about, like, yo, I didn't really like what I saw for preseason. And if you look around and you look at all these other preseason games that were going down, you saw some pieces some guys were displaying, and you're like, okay, if they lost the game, so be it. I don't give a damn if we lost. Folks are thinking that I'm upset because we lost a preseason game. Do you think I give a damn about losing a damn preseason game? I don't care about the preseason game. The preseason games are not about winning and losing. Nobody cares. You can go 3-0, 4-0 back in the day in preseason and just be ass the rest of the season. So we know that part. So shame on whoever's commenting in the comment sections, by the way. This is me going back to the last video. Shame on you if you think that Rico and Bot were upset because we lost. No. It was the product that we put on the field that was disappointing. The product, right? You're looking at the depth guys. You wanted to see how great the depth guys do in their moments. And it was kind of rough. The O-line got pushed around a little bit. And I didn't really like that. Defense, we didn't put enough pressure on these boys to really, get going. You had Caleb Williams dotting us up a little bit. On the run, making a great throw. You got to give it to him. That's a fantastic throw on the run, on the money, on top of that. We looked a little lost. To Corey Couch, a little lost. You feel me? So, like, little things like that. The guys that are trying to make the depth, like MVS dropping a ball in the middle of the field by himself, and you're the four-string receiver. Bruh, come on now. Little things like that. You feel what I'm saying? I mean, you KJ Hamler dropping footballs, and it's just sloppy. So if you think I'm upset because we lost the game, no, sir. It's because we didn't look good. But there were some good positive moments, and that's what I was trying to tell people. I mean, it wasn't all doom and gloom. We had some good moments, and we had some rough moments, but I would have liked to see a little more crisp football played by us. You know what I'm saying? We had some good moments, though. Don't get me wrong. We had some good moments. I liked what Khalil Shakir was able to do. With the three targets he got, he did something with his three targets. That tells me, hold on now, folks. We got a little something on this offense that's going to surprise a lot of people, because a lot of folks think that because Diggs and Davis are gone. Those are people that just don't know the squad, and those are people that just don't trust in 17. You know what I'm saying? Like, the amount of people that departed from the Patriots. Did you ever give up on the Patriots? Like, oh, they're going to be some ass now. No, never, bro. Never. Never the case. You feel me? So Diggs being gone, Davis being gone. I mean, what are we tripping about? We're not. It's about what this unit can do right now for Josh Allen. And that's at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. So that being said, Milano getting hurt is a bummer. Don't like it, but I mean, hopefully it's a minor one. Now, who else got hurt? Shane Bouchel. Shane Bouchel, bro, nasty work. Shane was some nasty work. This brother got sacked 6 times. He was running for his life. The game looked like it was just fast for him. Everything was just, you know what I'm saying? And when he tried to take a simple check down, nothing is simple in this game, folks. Nothing is simple in this game. You are playing the best of the best. And if you get caught lacking, you get caught slacking, them taking them shits back to the house for 6. And that's exactly what happened with the linebacker. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name for the Chicago Bears. The man just simply read Bouchel's eyes and was like, thank you very much, sir. And I just got you cut. And maybe the dive that you made trying to get after me must have messed up your neck. And nobody wants to see those type of injuries happen because it's unfortunate. But Shane Bouchel wrecked his neck. I don't know how, where, when it happened, but it did. And it cost him. I mean, it cost him, man. Because, like, that's someone's livelihood. And let's jokes aside, that's someone's livelihood. They're trying to make something happen. They're trying to be scout team QB. I mean, they have a role. Everyone has a role on this team. So at the end of the day, it sucks, but I mean, that's the nature of the game. It happens. You win some, you lose some. And in this case, Shane is he's going to be missing some significant time. So he's out. So the Bills are like, oh, snap. We need a third string quarterback to at least get us through this preseason. Because you don't want to put Mitch Trubisky in there and then he gets hurt. And now you're down to just Josh Allen. And then you're going to be forced to say, you know what? Who do we call? Who do we call? Are we going to call Matt Barkley again? I hope not. I ain't trying to do that. We had an opportunity. We could have drafted Joe Milton. We could have. Well, we didn't. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. I mean, he was there for the taking. We could have did something. But maybe it wasn't in the cards. It wasn't in the plans. Neither here nor there. However, Puchel out. Now we gotta get ourselves a quarterback. So who do we bring in? Ben DiNucci. Ben DiNucci. You know what memory I have of Ben DiNucci? It was Marcellus Wiley, excuse me. And when he was on the show with what was my African brother? What's his name? It's eluding me right now, but Ocho, Emmanuel Ocho. And they had their show together. And he kept on calling Ben DiNucci Nucci Gang. Ben DiNucci Gang. Well, listen, man. Ben DiNucci is the newly signed quarterback for the Bills. I think he's like 6'2". He's a good size quarterback. 6'2", 220-ish. And he's going to be manning the third QB spot. So Ben DiNucci is our new quarterback on the squad. And, I mean, he's got some experience. He's got some experience. He's got some time under his belt to, you know what I mean, to play. So it's not like he's never played before. He is what he is. DiNucci is what he is. He's got some experience, nothing great. He's had some moments for the Dallas Cowboys when he played for the Cowboys. He's been around the league a little bit, but here we are. Ben DiNucci is our new third string quarterback. So, pardon me, third string quarterback. So they're going to try to get him acclimated to this offense as best they can. And this is the thing that sucks, man. Like injuries like this that suck because like you don't want to put Mr. Trubisky in all day. You can't. You can't put Mr. Trubisky to play a whole damn game. You just can't, right? So you need someone to kind of take the brunt off. Like get Josh Allen his time in the second game. He'll probably get a little more significant time. And then in the second, you mean, after that, it'll be Mr. Trubisky for a little bit. And then we should really hold on to Ben DiNucci and let him do what he's got to do. And it's rough because if you're trying to make this team as a depth player, you're an old lineman or you're a receiver, it sucks for you because if you've made your block and you held your guy down and you did your job, but DiNucci's back there still holding on to the football and takes a sack, you're like, yo, bro, get rid of the football, right? And if you're looking at, if you're a receiver, you're Tyrell Shavers trying to make this squad, right? You're KJ Hamler trying to make this squad and you run a perfect round, you're wide open and Ben DiNucci can't get you to football because he's not, you know what I mean? He doesn't have the timing with you. He doesn't have all that stuff. It puts a hamper on the guys that are making the squad. So those are the negatives of when depth players, especially during preseason, get hurt because now it hinders you trying to make this team. So now every opportunity you get, you've got to make the most of it, even more so, right? So make sure that you do your job. You're getting open and doing what you're supposed to do. And if your opportunity does come and Ben DiNucci does what he's supposed to do and gets you the football, bro, take full advantage of it because everything's going to be flying his way and he's just going to be all over the place. So those are the tough moments for these quarterbacks. Tough for him too. He's coming in late in the offseason. We're ready to go for week two preseason, bro. Like you're in an absolute uphill battle. So you feel for him. You do absolutely feel for guys like Ben DiNucci, but guess what? Opportunities like this don't come often. So if they come calling, you got to do what you got to do. That's why it's tough being a backup quarterback, man. You got to be ready. And not even just a backup, you on your couch at home. That's why you got to give big credit to these veteran quarterbacks that are just chilling. I mean, Kaepernick, it ain't happening for you, bro. Like, you could sit on your couch all day. You know what I'm saying? Make a groove in that couch because they ain't calling you up. It doesn't seem like they will. They haven't done it in many years. They ain't gonna do it anytime soon. But whenever these guys, you mean, get called up and ready to go, give them credit, because they gotta, you mean, they gotta really get into that playbook, learn as much as they can and apply it and try to make chemistry with the guys and try to get the snap count with the center. Bro, that's a lot. That's a lot. And you just gotta, you gotta come in and do it. You gotta come in and do it. They say that the backup quarterback is one of the best positions. It's a tough one too, because if the big dog goes down, you up, and you better show me what you got. Anyway, so that being said, Ben DiNucci is now our third string quarterback that has been signed by the Bills. So now you go to the receiver room. Well, Chase Claypool, let's talk about it. So here's the deal. For those that don't know or have not seen, Chase Claypool has been put on the IR list. So shout out to Sal Capaccio, because I didn't know the details of how this all works out. And he did a great job explaining what it means for Chase Claypool being released. All right. So Chase being released during preseason, before the season starts, on the IR position, right? So normally, if you're in the season, it's week two, you get hurt, they put you on IR, you have the ability to return. The team can call you back after 4 weeks and you come back to the squad and let's keep it rolling, right? So back in the day, you get put on IR. I hated it when it mattered, when you had to put a guy on IR. That was it. You couldn't bring his ass back. That's done. You out of here. I'll see you next season. They've changed the rules now. When you put someone on IR for a minor to somewhat mid injury, you have a chance to come back, right? So that's the case if you're put on IR during the season. Now, before the season, during preseason, you're put on IR. You ain't coming back. You're done. You cannot play for the team in regular season. This is where Chase Claypool has found himself into, which really sucks, because we're sitting here as fans saying, shit, we might, it's a win-win for us, because it's low reward, it's low risk when we signed him, super low risk, but it could be high reward. If he does well and there's great chemistry with him and Josh Allen, and he turns out to be the player that he was when he was with the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger, bro, that's a win for the Bills. And he can climb up the depth chart and we can roll. Not the case in this situation, because this brother's been put on IR. I don't even know what the injury exactly was. But yeah, man, this brother's been put on the injured reserve. So, and he is not eligible to return to the team. Now, the only way he can return to this team is if the Bills decide within 7 days, as of right now, within 7 days, they cut him and say, hey, man, we're going to cut you. We're going to let you go do what you do. And once the season starts, we can reclaim him and re-sign him to, let's just say we sign him in week 3, week 6. Right. Then I think it's something to do with a proration of, okay, so from this time to this time, I don't know the details, the financial details. I just know this. You bring him back, you can bring him back, but now it's a whole new deal. It's a whole new deal. And we go from there. So there's a chance he may return. There's a chance he may return. So they might just, it's just business at this point. Yo, based on the rules of the game, this is what we're going to do. We still think you're a big part of this team. We don't trust MVS punk ass. So stay vigilant. You know what I'm saying? If things can work out between the two of us, just chill out. The season's going to start and we'll save you a roster spot. We'll manipulate it in somehow, some way. We'll keep a guy that we know we ain't going to really mess with. And then once it's time to go, we'll bring you back and then we'll cut Buddy and put him on the practice squad and call it a day. Could that be Shavers? I don't know. But here's the deal. Claypool is done. And whether he returns or he doesn't, there's still an option. So the Bills have to make a decision within these 7 days on what they're going to do. Listen, and it could be that they release him. They could be that they release him and they say, good riddance. We saw what we needed to see. Thank you for your time. And I'm waiting for the big major cuts, because you already know what time it is. There's going to be cuts being made. And out of all the cuts being made, there's going to be some big names that are like, oh, we didn't see that guy getting cut. I mean, prime example, I'm not saying that the Bills should do it, but Juju Smith-Schuster, right? This guy was one of the better receivers in the game, but like not too long ago, right? And now he's found himself without a team. So there are going to be teams that cut players that A, we've been paying attention to all offseason. B, players that were drafted that we were looking at, and all of a sudden they didn't make the squad for wherever, and now we bring in that rookie, and now we've got that rookie on our squad, right? There are so many things that could take place. With that being said, Chase Claypool being gone, so guess what? The Bills decide to bring in Damir Bird. Are you guys familiar with who Damir Bird is? Well, Damir is not a bad player, man. It's good size. Oh, I just lost my page, man. I just had it. Don't you hate that when you have something up? And now, anyway, Damir Bird, good size, good athleticism, and 31 years of age. I was reading it earlier, but now I just lost my page. But I'll get it back. But yeah, so now we bring in Damir Bird. So Damir Bird comes in as a, I guess, Bills replacement, if you will. For Chase Claypool's release or put on IR. So Damir Bird is the one that's going to be taken over, and we'll see how this all plays out. So not only does Damir Bird get signed, we actually had to waive Brian Thompson. Brian Thompson was a receiver that was on the deep depth of the receiver position, and we had to part ways with him. Now, could it be something that he comes back later on? We shall see. So we bring in Damir Bird. So Damir Bird is joining the Bills, and he'll have an opportunity to make it's tough. See, you see what I'm saying? Like, you come in this late, so you've got to prove something to this team to see where you'll be able to fit. So Damir Bird is a guy that we bring in. We also brought in Deion Kane, and we both signed him to 1 year deals. So this is the revolving door when players get hurt, right? So Claypool gone creates a bit of a stir. Now we bring in two players, and now Damir Bird is one of the players that we're going to be rooting for to, you know what I mean, make some noise on this roster. We already have the depth that we need, and you know what I mean, talking to the boys today, they're like, "Yo," but if you look at it. If you look at the depth that we have on this squad, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not a bad depth, right? The squad that we have is not bad. You brought in Curtis Samuel. Yes, he's got his moments of being injured, because we know he's had his moments of, I don't want to call him injury prone. I'm not going to do that, but he's had his moments of being injured. So could it happen again? Could it rear its head? It absolutely could. Right. So let's just say Curtis Samuel starts dealing with these little knickknack injuries, hammy or whatever, ligaments, whatever the case is. So now Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, MVS, Mac Hollins. When you look at that, when you look at it like that now, you're like, I don't know. I mean, we're talking a big game about how, listen, man, this depth is probably going to be better than when we had Diggs and Davis. And it very well could be. But one little injury now shakes up the whole receiving crew, where you're like, now you take a step back and really look and say, okay, Keon Coleman, rookie. All right, we got Khalil Shakir. We'll take that because he's slated for a big year. And then you go to Mac Hollins, and no hate on Mac Hollins, not at all. And then MVS. Yeah. I don't know, bro. I don't know. So just pray and hope that we look good, we look healthy, we stay healthy, and we run the table. Because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is win this division, right? Are we not trying to do that? Thank you very much. So that's the at the end of the game, that the end goal is to do that. So Deion Kane, we bring in Deion Kane. We also bring in, Ben DiNucci, the Nucci gang, and obviously Damir Bird. So Damir Bird, obviously, he brings in experience. Obviously, he's been on a roster his whole career. I don't think he's ever had time to sit. And I lost the page on my laptop here, so I'm just gonna pull it up on my phone here real quick. So yeah, man, we ain't tripping, man. Damir Bird comes in, and if it's low risk, high reward. If he comes in and really starts to he builds the chemistry with Josh Allen and he's able to do what he's supposed to do, then shoot, we'll bring it on. Bring it on, bro. So a little something on Damir Bird, on where he's played, where he's been. Not a bad player. Good size on him. Not a bad player. He's spent time with Carolina. He spent time with Arizona, New England, Chicago. So he's been around. He's like Wycliffe and MPD. Man, they've been around. So, he's not a bad little player. I'm looking at his targets when he's been at his best. I think his best season came with the New England Patriots. When he was with the New England Patriots, he had 600 yards receiving, and his next best season was the season before that with Arizona in 2019. So his best years were behind him. So this here is just a matter of like, where can he find his place on this roster? If he does, great. If he doesn't, well, we are where we are. But the great thing about this whole situation here is, and here's the silver lining in this, we're not having to just depend on our receivers. Thank goodness we have a tight end that could do real big things. Thank goodness we have a second tight end that is one of Josh's best friends.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
On the team and a target that he actually enjoys. So we don't have to necessarily depend solely on the depth of the receiving crew because we have the ball is going to be, it's going to be shared. James Cook's going to be in the mix, right? You got both tight ends in Kincaid and Knox that are going to be in the mix. And then you got your top three receivers. So we'll be all right. And on top of that, you know, Josh Allen's going to take the ball and take off sometimes. So we just make sure that we are great. We're good. Now, I do want to bring something up though. I do want to bring something up. So right now the O-line is what it is. All right. Listen, shout out to my girl, Kim. Kim, I love Kim because Kim, she's got BF in her best interest, right? Big kiss to you, Kim. Kim says, yo, there's 200 people watching on YouTube right now. What's going on? There's only 2 likes. Yo, go ahead and smash that like for our man, Rico. Yo, Kim. Love, Kim. Love. I appreciate that, girl. Appreciate that very much so. Kim's a trooper, man. She's an OG. So, by the way, listen to Kim. Listen to your elders, folks. All right? If Kim tells you to do something, you do that. So, here's the deal. O-line. Can we talk about the O-line? Can we be real with the O-line? Can we talk? You and I? Can we talk? Cool. Let's talk. All right. So, we're looking at the offensive line, bro. And Spencer Brown, he's got some things to prove because if he's trying to get that, you know what I mean? That deal, he's got to have a big year. He has to have a big year. So we're going to be watching Spencer Brown. I think everybody's going to be watching Spencer Brown, right? Osiris Torrance going into his second year. He's only going to get better. So Spencer Brown, Osiris Torrance, it's going to be their second year playing together. So the chemistry between the two of them, knowing what they do, and so on and so forth is great. The center position, I'm not hating on Connor McGovern whatsoever. The route the team wants to take is to give him his opportunity at center. he's going back home to his position. I'm not hating on that whatsoever. Love it. All right. And then there's the left guard. I'm not even hating on the left guard. I think most people know if you're going to pick a weak link on the offensive line, because every team has a weak link. It's not Rico hating. Rico's not hating. Every team has a weak link on their roster, on the O-line. 5 for 5, very rare that you have 5 guys that are just primo. And left guard, Mr. Edwards, is one that I'm paying attention to. Because if that brother is not holding up, because he was getting moved around a little bit. He was getting moved around early in the game. He was getting moved around. Get the way. Get out of here. Move. I got things to do. And he wasn't really, wasn't there. So if that, I don't want to say continues to be an issue. If we see that again, and we see that again, yo, there's going to be some things that need to be done. So in comes Van Pran-Granger. If you guys haven't noticed, let me just make sure that I got it down pat. Mr. Granger had a PFF grade of like 81. Was it higher than that? I think it was 91. 81 or 91. I can't remember. Let me, I don't want to just talk ish. Let me pull it up and just make sure I'm getting this down correctly. Perfect. Let me open this up. Yes. Mr. Cedric Van Pran-Granger in week one of the preseason had 19 pass blocking snaps, 0 pressures allowed, and he had an 81.9 pass blocking grade. All right. I like he a lot. Now, he's not our second string center. I found that very interesting. Alec Anderson was. Did I see that correctly? I thought I saw correctly that it was Alec Anderson at the backup center spot. So my man Granger is a third string. Now, if this trend continues where Granger starts to, according to PFF, he starts to do these things when given his opportunity. I mean, golly, he was on Georgia for crying out loud. That team was a powerhouse. You think they'd give this brother a little more love at where he's known his career at the center spot. Anyway. So if Edwards, because Edwards plays a big factor in this thing, if Edwards, and I hope he doesn't, I hope everything works out well. But if Edwards struggles, and coach always talks about putting the best five is what we want to do. Don't be stuck in your ways, my guy, because you said that Connor's going to be the center and you're going to keep him at center. If you got to make a move, don't hesitate. Throw my man back at guard and then slide in the rookie. And if that's your best five, roll with it. I'm not about, you got to let it play out. Do we have time to let things play out? Let's be real. Josh is 27, 28. We ain't got no time to let things play out. We got to nail this shit right this second, right now. You know what I mean? So I would pay close attention, because I'm going to be paying close attention to how this all shakes out with Edwards at left guard. And I'm not saying that he's a problem. He just didn't have a strong showing first game. But the beauty of sports, the beauty of competition is you get to redeem yourself. You get to redeem yourself. So if you can, why not? And so we'll be paying attention. We'll be definitely paying attention to the O-line and seeing how that plays out. I mean, I'm not even going to talk about Deion, because Deion is Deion. We already know what time it is. When it's time to show up, he shows up and shows out. So that's the one thing that I will be paying attention to. The defensive front, I'm looking forward to the defensive front as well. I want to see a little bit more. I want to see a little more pressure. But it's the first preseason, man. So you gotta get the jitters out. You gotta learn from your errors or learn from, okay, shoot, I could have done this. I could have done this. Week two is going to be fun to see. And we're playing a very physical team in the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think we have a joint practice with them, don't we not? I think we have a joint practice sometime this week, if my memory serves me correct. So we're about to, that, and the, listen, The best way I could put it is the lack of physicality that we saw in week one preseason, that shit is about to go up. It's going to go up because you're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers now. I mean, preseason or not, they're coming here to knock blocks off and they're trying to make their squad better. So we gotta ante up on the physicality. You know, Tomlin and his crew don't play no games. I mean, if you saw the clip of linebacker versus running back, that shit was hype. That stuff was hype. So you know they're going to bring it. So we can't come in, let me soft like Charmin. We just can't. We got to come in with some physicality and ready to roll. So that preseason number two, it'll be week number two, is going to be really fun to watch. I'm looking forward to it. Hold on, my man Richard Ford says, yo, can't believe we dump all pro center and have almost zero plan for replacement. I mean, I wouldn't say we have zero plan for replacement. I mean, I think most folks saw the Mitch Morse situation playing out the way it was going to play out. We weren't shocked by it. We weren't. I certainly wasn't. We knew at one point it was going to happen. He's getting a little older, and you got to make decisions, right? So Dad had to go. And it's fine because we found ourselves someone that has done the job, well with Georgia, his past team, and Granger. So it's just a matter of time. And if you know what, Connor might come in and absolutely destroy the game and do well. Let me remind you guys, all right? Creed Humphreys was the center that we thought we were going to get in years ago, right? Creed started off his career at guard and eventually made his way back to center. And he's been solid since. So give him some time. Give him some time. He'll be all right. Granger, if he has to find a way on this roster, even if Andrews isn't the answer, Andrews, keep calling him Andrews. If Edwards isn't the answer, maybe Granger comes in and takes over at left guard, and then eventually makes his way over. I don't know. We will see. This is only speculation. This is typically what happens during preseason, right? You got to figure out which fits best. What are the best fits for this roster? What are the best fits for this team? And how do we get the best product on the field? That, at the end of the day, is what Brandon Bean's MO is. Get the best product on the field, and I'll let my coach do the rest. My man Bill I.M. says, I'll take Edwards over McGovern as left guard. I mean, shoot. Have it your way. You can't. But here's the thing, though. That's craziness, because you can't promote. I mean, I see it as a promotion. You can't promote Connor to center, and then all of a sudden he's off the roster because SVP, you know what I'm saying? SVP goes in and takes over. That'd be wild. That would absolutely be wild. And he's building chemistry with. I mean, pizza parties ain't going to be the same no more, right? He's inviting everybody to pizza party. Can you imagine? Pizza party when he's not even the center anymore? I'm relegated to the backup now? None of y'all get pizza. You kidding me? Pizza parties are done. That's it. Canceled. I couldn't see that happen. That'd be wild. But stranger things have happened. But at the end of the day, in all seriousness, you got to put the best team on the field, period. My man Walter comes in and says, I feel like it's too late now to make that switch. I do agree with that. That's why I wanted to pay attention to it. McDermott loves McGovern to be at the center position. It's not going to budge. Unless something catastrophic happens, it's not going to budge. Most likely stays that way. Anyway, Mike says, Walter says, I feel like it's too late to make a switch now. Allen's been building with QB center cadence 100% with McGovern all offseason. Now, SVPG hasn't had the time on task with Allen to be center. And that's one of those things where something would have to happen. Something would have to give. Because I didn't focus more on Connor. I focused more on Edwards. If Edwards was a challenge or was an issue. Now, he's got starting experience under his belt. So once you get into groove of things, you'll work. All right. So here's the one thing that I do have beef with, by the way. When people are talking about, and this is just my opinion here, when people are talking about preseason, it's just preseason. Shut up, man. I assume that's what the person sounds like when they're sending their comments in the, when they're putting their comments in the comment section, right? What are you taking it so serious for, man? So I got to read this one comment. It didn't trigger me whatsoever, but I just find it comical. So I was like, okay. I was like, I can respond, but I'd rather respond this way. So the comment that was put out there. And no hate on this person, by the way. There's no hate whatsoever. Who was it? It was Andy. My man Andy came out and was like, yo, I got something to say, right? So he goes, the whole point of the exercise was to take a look at the young guys on the back end of the roster and see what they could do and get some tape on them for better evaluation processes, better evaluation purposes, and also to get out of the game without injuries. And I think they succeeded on both levels. I actually agree with that statement. Then Andy said, I don't give a ish about the score or showing something. So this is where I had the problem. The showing something. How do you not give a ish about showing something? That's the point, to show something. You can't just say it's for no injuries and for the back end guys to get all their stuff in and so on and so forth, and then tell me, showing something in quotations. Come on, bro. That's the point of the preseason. You got to show me something. And what we saw on the field wasn't a good showing. There was a couple moments here and there, but wasn't an overall good showing. Now, I bring this topic up because this is where my opinion comes in. So to me, preseason, obviously we don't care about the score. We don't. We all know that. It doesn't count. It doesn't matter, right? Builds confidence, maybe. You know what I mean? If you get a win and something good happens, so on and so forth. But the what I wanted to bring in was the argument that I hear is, well, there's no game plan. So, like, of course it's going to look sloppy. Of course it's going to look whatever. See, to me, I personally think that because there's no game plan, this is where you get to really see what these guys are made of, because there's no game plan. So it's mano y mano, you against me. I didn't game plan versus you. You didn't game plan versus me. It's just pure football. I got to beat you on my route. You gotta stop me in your whatever defensive scheme you have. As an old lineman, defense got to beat me. I got to beat you. Linebacker, everybody's got, there's no plan. So it's like, it's my individual skill from what I learned and what I took from coaching and applied onto the field in the vanilla. Because everybody's vanilla at this point. So if we get waxed, what's that tell you? We didn't scheme anything. There was no preparation. We didn't get. So like it's mano y mano, man to man. And I got to beat you. You got to beat me. There is no scheme. I didn't game plan for you. I didn't know, oh, this is what they do when they call this play. This is what they do. We didn't do that. There was none of that. There was just my play against your play. Who wins? And that's the way I look at it. So to tell me what it's a showing, and nah, bro, like you still got to whoop ass. You still got to show me what you got. That's the way I look at it. Van Pran Granger, and as example, did his job. He did his job with an 81, no pressures, 19 snaps. I beat my man. Did my shit. Kudos. But I hate when people say, well, there was no game plan, so who cares? I care, bitch. I mean that with respect, by the way. I mean that with all respect. But anyway, I digress. So that being said, I'm looking forward to week two. I think that most guys, when they go back and look at the film, there were some good moments had. And I think they want to build. I'm sure they saw it and like, oof. You know what I'm saying? Because if you look around, the league, the rookies, you mean some guys were making some plays, man, especially the quarterbacks. Jane Daniels. I mean, he was doing some good things. Milton. Milton played better than freaking Drake May. I'm just saying, right? So everybody's making some splashes here and there. So I'm hoping to see some splashes and some guys really step up, right? Shavers has a great opportunity to step up. I'm hoping that we see something from Shavers. Maybe he carves himself a spot. I'd like to see more from the O-line in order for James Cook and Ray Davis to really show what they got. I didn't really like, I mean, Ray Davis I wouldn't call it a poor showing, but it wasn't a great showing. You got 5 carries and it was like for like 2 yards. It wasn't great, but it wasn't great overall. We just couldn't get a push. So I'm hoping the O-line comes together and, you know what I mean? They do something in order so we can actually see something. Does that make sense? They put something forward on tape so we can actually, I mean, the O-line holds up. Okay, Lau gives my quarterback to, you know what I mean, dissect and do what he's got to do. Open up the holes, let my running backs find lanes and do what they do, right? James Cook, Ray Davis relegated to pretty much nothing. So anyway, we shall see. Joe Brady's got a tall task ahead of him. And this is his first official man. He's got the power with the Bills. So he's going to be running things. And I have all the confidence in Joe Brady. So I know that he's going to fix this stuff up. And it's preseason. I get it. But I want to see a little something. I do want to see. As a fan, I want to see a little something. I do. Anyway, that being said, I don't want to recap too much on last game and all that stuff because it's over and done with. And I'm sure that they went through film and did what they needed to do. And they're where they're at. Now, big shout out, by the way. I was watching, side note, I was listening to a pod by Josh was talking to Long, the Green, what do they call it? The Green Podcast or something like that. But anyway, former lineman Long, I forgot his name. Anyway, really cool pod because it's Josh Allen's getting chilling more. He's getting more chill every podcast I see him do. And there are some ones where Chris Long. Thank you very much, by the way, John. Chris Long. And there are some podcasts I see Josh doing. I mean, we watch every one of Josh Allen's podcasts or anywhere he's at. So a lot of the answers we already know. I mean, oh yeah, I've heard him talk about that. The Greenlight Project. Thank you very much. The Greenlight Podcast. So like we've heard a lot of Josh's responses. The one that was really cool though is when Chris Long asked him, "Yo, out of all the throws you've made, yeah, which is your favorite?" Most folks would be like, "Oh, that's a good question, man. You know what, bro?" He went Jay Kumro, divisional game. Against the Broncos, and we needed that win. And the minute he said Jay Kumro, I was like, "Yo, I remember that one," because he zipped that thing on a line. And Josh, he reiterated, was like, "Yo, I threw that thing with all my might. I whipped that thing, and that thing was on a rope." And Kumro came down with that, and I was like, we were sitting there going, shoot. And I've seen a lot of great Josh Allen throws. I mean, we've all seen a lot of great Josh Allen throws. One that stands out as well is the Detroit game. I can tell you Detroit game, and each and every one of y'all are going to know exactly what I'm talking about, to Stephon Diggs, right? Time is on the line. We need this play heavy. It's third and long or second long, real long. And Josh put that thing on a rope. And Diggs came down with that. But it was so interesting that he was like, "Man, Kumro." No hesitation. With the amount of throws that he's done, he's thrown over 1,000 passes, bro. He's thrown over 1,000 passes. My man was like, "Yeah, that's the one." Bingo. Bing bong. That was the one. So, yo, kudos to him, man. I mean, I'm sure you guys have throws that you remember that Josh made. That you're like, how'd he make that throw? Like, for me, one of the throws that stands out even to this day was his rookie year, preseason at that. And he hit Ray Ray. He hit him on the right sideline. And he split it between two defenders. Zing. I was like, whoo, okay. All this inaccurate nonsense they keep talking about, my boy. No. He got that. Craziness. But anyway, so. Really cool podcast. If you haven't checked it out, that Chris Long podcast, the Green podcast, what'd you call it? Forgot what the name of it was, but super dope. It was really cool. Cool to just listen to Josh. Man, Josh was like, he was just in his element, just chilling. And it's the way the vibe was. The vibe was chill. Chris Long just knew, man. Let me ask you this, man. And it was just chill. It was cool. So yeah, it was cool to see Josh in a different element. It just felt like this one was a little different. But anyway, great pod nonetheless. So that being said, folks, there it is. That's the show. If there are any questions, concerns, if there are things that you think that we should be talking about right this second, this is your opportunity to bring it up in the comment section right this second. If not, smash that like. If you have not subscribed to this channel in preparation for the season when it starts, I suggest you do that now and hit that notification bell because we got a lot of good content coming your way. And don't forget, game days are the best days, right? Pre-game, live game, post-game. And then you got the Monday, Tuesday shows of, you know what I mean, talking about injuries and so on and so forth. It's going to be solid. It's going to be light. And you know what it is, man. When Pierre gets on the mic, he starts drinking that Tito's. It's game over. It's game over. I read a comment. Someone told Pierre to chill out. He's drinking a little too much. He's too loud. Bro, you're new. You're new to this. We can tell. You know what I mean? We're new to this. But yeah, man, I got a question coming in from my man, Anthony Rufus. So how do you think our passing game is going to look? Listen, man, anytime that you got Josh and you have Kim says, shot time. You're right, Kim. Anytime that you got this Anthony Rufus, Ruffus, maybe it's Ruffus. Anyway, anytime you got Josh, bro, the offense is going to be offense. You know, we're going to move the rock. You know, Josh is going to do what he's got to do. And there seems to be a difference in Josh this year, right? There was rumors that Josh never worked out. He didn't care. He come in. I don't really work out. I don't really do much. I enjoy my summer. I come in. I do the necessary things that we got to do to get conditioned, and I'm ready to go. This year, very noticeably, people are like, yo, Josh looks a little slimmer. What's going on? Is it working out? What's happening? So it turns out when he was talking to Chris Long, he was like, yeah, man, you got a personal chef. Chef is cooking him up meals that are healthy for him. And he's getting rid of the things that he doesn't necessarily need in his meal. So he's eating clean. Bro, you know you got money when you got a personal chef. When that personal chef comes in and you're like, you know what? My palate tells me I want lobster. So it's up to the chef to, you know, I mean, cook that thing up and have some sides that work well. You know what? My palate tells me I'm looking for just a nice salad with a chicken salad. Yo, cook that thing. Yo, have it a personal chef, bro. That's money. That's money right there. That's when you know. But when you got that money and you're a professional athlete, you got to do those things. Look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady, bro, the TB12 diet. You heard me, bro. You heard me say that. It was not great. It was not great. It didn't. For me, it wouldn't be great. But that thing, you couldn't eat anything. Like his ice cream, his treat was avocado ice cream. What? Couldn't be me. Couldn't be me. But as a professional athlete, you got to take care of yourself. The prime example of an athlete taking care of themselves is LeBron James. LeBron James is 40. I think he just turned 40. He's turning 40. He's my age, bro. And I'll be 40 in November. And this guy spends $1 million on his body and all the stuff that he does in the offseason to prepare for the season. And you wonder why he's rarely hurt. He's been doing this a long time. He's the all-time leading scorer. Like, and he's going to be able to play with his son, for crying out loud, on the same team. Bro, that's the ultimate goal. And for someone to be able to have 20 years of longevity and rarely be hurt, incredible. Incredible. So Josh took a page out of these athletes' books. And I'm sure they have each other on speed dive. They want to call each other. I'm sure of it. I mean, you know, the top athletes, they know each other. They see each other at events. So Josh absolutely looks different. You can see it. He's meet up with the boys in Nashville playing. Yo, he's focused. He's laser focused. So how is this offense going to look? How is Josh going to look? I think he's going to look solid, man. He's going to look solid. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be a telling year. This is a big year for the Bills, because now we're about to find out what Josh looks like without Diggs, because Diggs was a big part of Josh's development. And if someone tells me that's a lie, you a liar, and get gone. Because that was a big part of his development, and vice versa. Josh was able to have Diggs excel. They've been great for one another. So now we're about to find out what it looks like with all the developing that Josh has done and was able to, you know what I mean, find his ways with Diggs and knows what is needed. Now he can actually take that leadership and instill it into the guys that he's got now. If you ran this route, yo, run it like this, because he probably heard Diggs say something back in the day. Yo, you know what? When you get to this point, kind of do this, because that, me and you on the same page, we can, there's a lot of that stuff. And then this player might come back and say, what if I did this? And I can come back, oh, let's try that. That's the beauty of sports. That's the beauty of all that stuff, man. It's great. It's amazing, right? Competition. It's the best, man. I'll tell you that right now. So, great question, by the way, Mr. Rufus. About how do we feel that this team is going to do. I'm good with that. Walter comes in and says he has an issue. Walter, what the hell is your issue, man? My issue is we have no issue asking Allen to reach a new level of elite, but we're afraid to just ask others on the team, mainly defense, to just be great. I mean, listen, man. When you pay someone $250 million, you damn right I'm going to ask you to be great because you're getting the most money on the squad. You're getting the most money. You are the franchise. You are the face. Last time I checked, Taylor Rapp wasn't the face of this defense, and neither was Greg Rousseau. So, yeah, hell yeah, I'm going to be asking my quarterback to do more, be elite, because you got paid for it. And those that don't get paid, it's because they're not elite. We didn't bring you back because we didn't feel that you were the guy. It's that simple, right? And sometimes teams are forced to bring a guy back because there's no other option, i.e., the Miami Dolphins. Did they really want to bring Tua back? Yeah. I mean, they were toying with Tua 2 years ago. Just saying. So, but Josh, on the other hand, no, that's the real deal. So if we're going to pay you, we're paying you because we feel that you have the greatness in you to bring this franchise the Super Bowl it deserves. So hell yeah, I'm going to ask you for more. But that doesn't mean that we can't demand more from the defense. Now, let's keep it real now. That'd be foolish for us to not demand more from the defense. Help the quarterback out. How? By forcing 3 and outs, baby. You know what I mean? Getting after the quarterback, making them turn into 3rd and longs, right? That's the way I look at it. We'll see. Special teams got to do their part, too. Special teams have got to do their part. Walter says, hey, Allen isn't the only one getting paid, baby. We haven't even gotten good play from a defense in the postseason. Besides the Ravens game 4 years ago, name elite games from this defense. Ooh, well, the Dallas game was pretty good. We whooped on the Dallas Cowboys and they didn't do dick all in that game. And the defense played pretty damn good. Elite, by all means? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I got to really go back to see what elite defense display that we put on. But let's not forget, the league is not made for defense. Let's be real with each other. I know, Walter, you're talking postseason. I agree. Postseason is when I need y'all to show up. Facts. And lately there has not been. I mean, we can call the Patriots game the perfect game. That's the best defensive performance that we put on. Let's be real. If we're going to be real and we're talking about playoffs, that one right there, the playoff against the Patriots. Micah Hyde coming in out of nowhere and picking off Macaroni Jones, that was dope. D-line was all over it. Postseason-wise, mind you. Do you think Joe Brady can take the Bills to the Super Bowl? I mean, shoot, you got 17, so yeah, of course. It's a challenge because the AFC is tough as nails, man. The AFC is tough this year. I mean, every year, for crying out loud. Everybody wants to come to the AFC, for crying out loud. And then you got to deal with freaking Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. You got to deal with Pat Mahomes. The list goes on, man. Josh Allen, other teams got to deal with. Tua, I got to throw Tua in there. He's nice. He can play. Yo, that AFC East is bananas, man. So, yeah, we always have a shot to go. But it's got to be an effort on the defensive side, too. You got to make some stops. So, folks, appreciate y'all. You know I do. That's my time. Hold on. I got one more. Laura says, how do you think Babbage did play calling? Ooh, you know what? That's a great question, man. I like what he did. I mean, listen, with your play calling, you're limited. You're not limited, right? But you also know who your players are. You know, you want to draw something up where you want to put your players at their best strengths. And at the beginning, he had one play call that I loved where it was in the red zone and we made a stop where Rasul Douglas pinched in. And that's a bit of awareness and that's a bit of play calling, right? And kind of anticipating what this team is about to do. And great play call by Babbage. Rasul Douglas pinched in, came in, great defensive stop, tackle for loss. You got to hit that field goal, bro. Loved it. So I hope that they gave him an opportunity to call plays again. I think they're going to give him all preseason to prove himself if he's a worthy enough play caller on defense. And then McDermott will make his decision on whether he passed or he didn't. And by how the defensive players respond to these play calls that are being made, right? If he calls the right player, you're in the right place, right time, and doing what you're supposed to do. So if those things happen, maybe he becomes the play caller year round and allows McDermott to go do what he's supposed to do. You know? Anyway, I appreciate that comment. I appreciate that question. Laura, appreciate that, girl. Afro mean this. I got to dip. Your boys got to go to work. So, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate your time. You guys know what it, you guys already know that we appreciate you. We're going to be back at it again on Friday with my guy Z-Bot, and we're going to be previewing, obviously, the game that's coming against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll be talking about, obviously, practices all week, and we'll be talking about things around the league. We don't just stick to Bills football when it comes to the Rico and Bot in the afternoon pod. We are actually going to, we talk on everything, life, this, down the third, what goes down. It's a podcast for everything and for everyone. You feel me? So if you have topics that you want me to hit, you already know what time it is, man. Hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on email, hit me up on IG, wherever you guys can find me, hit me up and say, yo, I need you to talk about this. Yo, bring this up. Yo, have you tried this? Yo, I had steak for this. Anything food related, sports related, whatever it is, y'all hit me up. So folks, that's my time. Appreciate each and every one of y'all tuning in. It's great. There's a lot of Bills content out there. Salute to every one of y'all putting out work. Y'all didn't ever have to be here, but you came here to hang out with your boy, and I appreciate it. I'm a fanatic. Hey. So, that being said, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you guys back on Friday, and then we'll see you back on Saturday for the game, post-game. It's a late one, I believe. So, be ready to hang out with your boy and Z-Bot on a late run. So, folks, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. And until next time, it's your boy Rico, and I'm gone. Other teams can't, it's a repo. The opponents gotta call up triple O. Bills Mafia, we heating up, we too electrical. We got bean to plug, electric show. We wired up, hit up Rico, he fired up. We know where we stand on the power ranking. Other teams fans in the comments hating, we block them all. We protecting Josh, salute to him, he the general now. Rico got legends for interviews, how the Buffalo Bills got the best fan base. Away games, red, white, blue in the crowd, hey. I'm a Buffalo fanatic, play good, be humble, number 17 the captain. I'm a Buffalo fanatic, I'm a Buffalo fanatic, I'm a Buffalo fanatic, I'm a Buffalo fanatic, I'm a Buffalo fanatic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.